Senator Skoy, did you want to put on the A2 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I do have an amendment that needs to be put on, and I think that we would probably be well advised if we were to delete Section 1, the purpose statement, also. And so if somebody would move that prior to my presenting the bill.
Senator Johnson moves the A2 amendment incorporating in deletion of Section 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Skoy.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members. And I'm here with Senate File Number 87, and this is a bill that we've had before in an effort to recognize the contributions to not just Minnesota but to the country of Minnesota's American Indians. They have served our country so valiantly in the World Wars and also other wars. You know, when I attend events in Indian country in Minnesota, they also proudly almost always have a honor guard of members that have served. They have accompanying that many times a drum corps or a drum group that plays songs of respect, and it really is quite an event. But it is a demonstration of the high esteem that the community holds the veterans that have served our country and our state. And with that, I would hope that we're able to move forward on this plaque that would recognize the contributions of these many valiant warriors that have served our state and our country. I'm here today with Chairwoman Irma Visitor from White Earth, and she would like to say a few words about this initiative.
Welcome, Chair Visner, and it's nice to see you again.
It's good to see you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Senator Skoy, and members of the committee. Our relative from Prairie Island, Mr. Johnson, thank you. It is a great honor to speak on behalf of our American Indian veterans who have served this country out of the greatest honor and service, because we love our country, and our veterans have, I would say 99% of our American Indian veterans have not been subjected to the draft, but have gone voluntarily to serve both land and people for the freedoms that we enjoy today. I think that in 2005, Commissioner Dyrud of the Veterans Affairs was giving me a tour around the grounds, and I noticed this Court of Honor, and I asked, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have a plaque to honor American Indian veterans who have served this country proportionately higher than any other group in this country, including white veterans? Mm-hmm. And so I would, I think about the wars, World War I, World War II, where code talkers, American Indian code talkers were the decisive part of the victory of those wars. So I encourage you, I ask you, I plead with you on behalf of our veterans, American Indian veterans, to pass this legislation. Miigwech.
Chair Visner, I don't know if you said this or if I didn't hear correctly, but I think I have heard in the past that American Indian soldiers, compared to the American Indian population, is a very high percentage when you compare that to other ethnic groups.
Yes, Madam Chair, the proportionately American Indian veterans serve. At the time this legislature passed legislation for tribal veteran service officers, we have our White Earth Veteran Service Officer, Tom Spry, here, and two of our veterans, Ron Valiant, who is our executive director, and he served in Vietnam.
Raise your hand. Hi, Ron.
And Robert Durant is our secretary treasurer. He's also a veteran. And so, yes, we're very proud of our veterans who have, I would say at the time that a veteran service officer legislation was passed, the statistic showed 30% of all American Indians in this country serve in the armed forces.
Wow. Thank you. And Chairman Johnson?
Madam Chair, it's Chairman Johnson's son, Blake Johnson.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members
Chairman
of the committee.
Chairman in training. Chairman in waiting.
Like I said, my name is Blake Johnson, and I'm actually the lobbyist for the Prairie Island Indian community. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking on behalf of my dad, Johnny Johnson, president of the Prairie Island Indian community. On behalf of Prairie Island Indian community, I would like to thank you for the opportunity today to testify on behalf of Senate File 87, a bill to authorize placement of the plaque on the Court of Honor and on the Capitol grounds to honor American Indians veterans from Minnesota. The memorial plaque is an appropriate way to honor American Indian veterans who have honorably and bravely served the United States Armed Forces during both peacetime and war. We are the Middlewakanden Dakota tribe. It is our tradition and custom as Middlewakanden Dakota to honor men and women who have served the United States Armed Forces. Veterans are honored during our ceremonies, including color guard and honoring songs during our powwow and during ceremonies of Memorial Day and Veterans Day. And we honor our veterans on plaques in our own community center. We honor and respect their service to our country and to our tribe. American Indians have served proudly during peacetime and in every one of our nation's wars and conflicts. It is a proud tradition and one that deserves recognition in the Court of Honor. The tradition of military service by American Indians has been a part of our way of life for generations. At points in our tribe's history, military service was one of the few opportunities available that offered our members a chance to get an education, learn new skills, and improve their lives and provide for their families. It is a proud tradition that continues today. A plaque in the Court of Honor will serve as a permanent memorial to honor our American Indian veterans and to recognize their service and sacrifice along with other veteran groups already honored in the Court of Honor. The American Indian veterans per capita has served this country more than any other ethnic group in history. These veterans are also some of the most decorated and all military veterans and served in every branch of armed forces. The plaque of the Court of Honor will help promote a better understanding of the involvement of Native Americans, veterans, and a peacetime and wartime service, and help convey a more positive and truer image of American Indian veterans. Our tribe strongly supports Senate File 87, and we encourage your support as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other tribal chairs in the audience? Are there any other veterans in the audience? You want to just stand and say your name?
Gene Abel.
Thank you. Over here.
Jerry Kaiser.
Mike LaBelle.
Okay.
Bob Connor.
Richard Jenkins, Sr.
Right. Any others? Well, thank you for being here today, and thank you very much for your service. Any questions on the bill? Yes, Senator Squay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just would like to remind the members that the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council will be paying and providing the plaque, and this will be done by approval of the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs and the Capital Area Architectural and Planning Board. So we're following through all the processes and would really appreciate your affirmative support of this bill and McGwich.
So, Senator Squay, since there's no cost involved, is it your understanding that we don't have to go to Finance Committee then? Oh, wait a minute. Yep.
Tribes are picking up.
Oh, okay.
Costs.
Yeah, no, there's
Indian Affairs.
Right. Oh, tribes.
Is there any reason to go to Finance Committee?
Madam Chair, there is no cost, and I just was informed that while all the tribes are in the Indian Affairs Council, they individually are going to pick up the cost, but there is no cost to the state.
Okay. We had a technical change. Ms. James, if you wanted to just explain that and then someone to move it.
Madam Chair and members, because we've deleted Section 1, in the effective date on line 1.17 references both Sections 1 and 2. So to fix that, what we'll do is on line 1.9, renumber Section 2 to be Section 1, and then line 1.17, delete and 2.
And then on 1.16, change Section 3 to Section 2.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, then.
So move.
Thank you. Senator Hall moves the technical correction. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Okay, any other, anyone else in the audience wish to testify on this bill? Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
All right. Senator Thompson moves that Senate File 87 as amended be recommended to pass. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
Thank you very much, Canadian.
Thank you very much.
Come back again. Good to see you, Mr. Johnson, and thank you all for your hard work. Okay, Senator Anderson, Senate File 208. Senator Anderson has an amendment. Have those amendments been passed out? Mm-hmm. How come I don't have it? I have it over here. Does everyone have an amendment to Senate File 87? It's the two. It's the A2.
To Senate File 208.
Oh, I found it, the A1. Okay, this is an author's amendment.
I don't think they have it over here.
Okay, let's check to see if the A1 amendment. Do you think it's over there? Senator Anderson, why don't you start by just explaining maybe the idea behind your bill while we get the A1 amendment copied.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, Senator Bruce Anderson here to present a bill on honor and remember, and Senate File 208 is before the committee and with an amendment to be put on there, recommended by staff, Ms. James. But the purpose of the Honor and Remember flag is to recognize those families in our country who gave, whose sons and daughters, maybe even fathers and mothers who gave their life for freedom throughout the United States and throughout the world, whether in Iraq, Afghanistan, Vietnam, goes back, can probably even use this to recognize people who have fallen on behalf of members from their families going back to the Korean War. So it's basically an opportunity for individuals to take in on a given day, or they could fly on a regular basis to remember their loved ones, especially the sons and daughters who gave their all. And I have with me today Mike and Pat LaBelle, along with Mr. Jerry Kaiser, who is the head of the MAG group, military action group that meets with legislators and senators here in the Capitol on a twice a month basis to testify on behalf of the reason that they want this bill to be heard and to be brought before the committees in the Senate and in the House. So without my going further into detail, I'd love to have them testify, but maybe, Madam Chair, you want to put this amendment on first?
We don't have it ready yet, okay. So why don't we go ahead and take the testifiers.
Okay, very good.
We'll
thank you, Madam Chair.
Ms. LaBelle, who's going first?
Mike is going.
Okay. Mr. LaBelle.
Yeah, my name is Mike LaBelle. I'm the Director of Honor and Remember of Minnesota. It's a national organization. We have directors in each state. The thing about Minnesota, we take care of our military and our families. We are the first state to raise enough money to purchase and present flags to 125 families so far. We just got, 2 weeks ago, a family went back in history and found a relative that was killed in the Revolutionary War and received one of these flags. We've given flags in western Wisconsin. I'm losing my train of thought. But
Don't be nervous.
We have 15 states that already have adopted this flag. That's Virginia, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, North Carolina, South Carolina, Louisiana, Kansas, Oklahoma, Arizona, Utah, Oregon, Missouri, New Jersey, and then 12 states endorsed, and that's Hawaii, Washington, Texas, Colorado, South Dakota, Mississippi, Georgia, New York, Kentucky, New Hampshire, Vermont, Florida, and Rhode Island. And every week we have more states that have adopted or endorsed this flag. I met George Lutz in 2009 in Utah, and you know, being a Vietnam vet and hearing his story, he got me right in the heart. And Pat and I, my wife and I, we bought two families, two flags. And then we were going to buy another one, and George called me and asked me if I would be the director of Minnesota. Well, you can't turn them down. I couldn't do that. So our quest started then. Most of our donations came from the Lions Club, the VFWs, American Legions. At the American Legion National Convention, the meet and greet was in Apple Valley, mm-hmm. American Legion. And they had the American flag flying below it, the POW/MIA flag. And below that, they had the Honor Remember flag. And at any given time, you would see people out there from the American Legion and just the public taking pictures of those flags together. It was just beautiful. There was some issues about the flag etiquette. I know that they were worried about the cost of putting up new poles, flag poles, and this and that and the other thing. The POW flag and MIA flag is always underneath the American flag. Now, if they're going to put three flags on, counting the Honor and Remember flag, that would be the third flag. It's always third. And the same goes for if it's on... the American flag's on one pole and the POW and MIA flag's on another pole, the Honor and Remember would fly under the POW/MIA flag. When it came to the trademark, there was a little discussion about that. And Honor and Remember trademark is a mechanism to protect the flag from being altered or produced outside the U.S. In researching the POW/MIA flag, without this protection, the flag is lost all rights and designs, and they were made in China, and the biggest slap in the face was Vietnam.
So the U.S. flags are not don't have copyright rights because they're all made in China, I think. There's a few American companies, but a lot of them are made in China.
They're not allowed to buy an American flag here in the state of Minnesota that's not made in the United States. Okay. And this is what Honor and Remember has done.
You can get pins.
They hired a manufacturer. It's the biggest flag maker in the United States. And they hired seven other companies to make this flag throughout the United States. And we gave up all copyrights. So we do not have any copyrights. But the main concern was that every flag will be made here in the United States and that it cannot be altered.
Okay.
There's a special flag that goes to the families, and they're all made in Virginia at one certain flag company.
You have a sample? Oh, great.
We do. We have two Gold Star mothers here.
Hey, Ms. LaBelle, why don't you? Why don't we go to you?
Okay. Thank you. We have two Gold Star mothers here that received their flags. This is Kathy Wasica. Mm-hmm. and her flag is in honor of her son, James Wasika.
Great, thank you.
And Joanne Rundell Richardson, I'm sorry, brought her flag in honor of her son, Gregory Rundell.
So you can individualize them, too?
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Only for the Gold Star families.
Ah.
It's just because they're special.
And tell me your name again.
My name's Kathy Wasika.
Kathy Wasika made yes. that comment. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Now, these flags here are specially made, and that's why they're made in one place, because they're all handmade. And they're inspected three times before they're sent out to the directors.
Ms. LaBelle, did you have a statement you wanted to read?
Yes, I do. I have a statement from Jill Stevenson, another Gold Star mother in the state of Minnesota. She wanted to be here today, but fortunately for her, she's in Florida this week. So she emailed me an impact statement she would like me to read. I received an honor and remember flag after the death of my only child in July of 2009. He was an Army Ranger serving in Afghanistan on his third tour of duty. He was 21. I had no idea at the time that such a flag existed. Learning the reason for its existence invoked a new level of pride and honor for my son's sacrifice. Knowing it came to fruition by the efforts of a Gold Star father whose son is buried at Arlington National Cemetery, only a few rows from my own son, brought a sense of kinship as well. The men and women the Honor and Remember flag honors laid their lives down to protect what America's flag represents. This is a symbol to honor the flag our loved ones died for and the purity and truth of their sacrifices. I'm incredibly proud of my son's loyalty to his country and believe the Honor and Remember flag gives each state the opportunity to say thank you to all the families who have paid the ultimate price at the altar of freedom. It also puts to rest the notion that our loved ones will be forgotten as we watch this beautiful flag fly on our state capitol, blowing not by the wind, but by the last breath of all those it honors and remembers. Jill Stevenson, proud Gold Star mother of Corporal Benjamin Kopp, U.S. Army Ranger, died of wounds 7-18-09.
Thank you very much. I think we have the amendment now, and maybe Senator Anderson could move the A1 author's amendment.
Madam Chair, I would like to move the A1 amendment to be placed in the bill as it's designated.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Ms. James, would you help us engross the amendment then by kind of going through it, because it's a little complicated.
Madam Chair, members, on page 1, line 18, delete created by honor and then on line 1.19, delete remember ink. And then in place of that, so on line 1.18, after the word flag, insert described in subdivision 3. And then on the amendment, line 1.4 describes that on line 1.24 of the bill, after the period, insert the sentence, this designation is contingent on the flag being available for purchase at a reasonable price. And then on page 1, after line 24, insert the new subdivision 3, which goes on the amendment from line 1.7 to 1.20.
Okay.
And then on page 2, line 22, delete Supreme Court building and insert Judicial Center. And on line 2.23, delete the words as well as. And then on page 2, line 24, delete the or. And after cemetery, insert State Veterans Service Centers, and State Veterans Community-Based Outreach Centers. And then after the semicolon, insert an and. And then delete lines 25 through 28. And then on line 2.29, delete the 3 and insert a 2 in its place. And then on page 3, line 1, before the word any, insert notwithstanding sections 10A.071 and 471.895.
And what are those sections?
Madam Chair, members, those are the gift bans.
Okay. So I think Senator Anderson is aware that this bill will have to go to judiciary because of the copyright issues, and then probably to the Rules Committee because of the gift ban.
Okay.
So you have a way to go for a seemingly simple and
straightforward
bill. Seems
pretty simple to me, but
yeah.
Madam Chair, I have a question about
Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Anderson, what would be the cost of this flag, do you think? You said it's handmade. Do you know what the cost of that is?
The ones for the families, they're a special flag.
Okay.
Those are pretty expensive.
I'm sorry, Mr. Lebrun.
The ones, I think the one that we had here that we flew over the Capitol when George Lutz was here was
they're 50,
4x6.
4x6 is $50. Screen print.
Thank you.
And these flags.
Mr. Lebrun.
They last.
I'm sorry, I have to identify who's speaking because of the tape. So I didn't. Please proceed. Mr. LaBelle.
And these flags are made very well. I've had mine. I got a 3x5 outside, and it's been out there for 3 years, and it looks as new as it was. I mean, they're made very, very well.
Thank you. Madam Chair, just to follow
Senator
up. The bill actually describes all of the government buildings and you added, you know, the community-based centers. So there's a lot of buildings that are going to be, I know that you say encourage the facility to display the flag, but I don't know what would be the cost. I don't know, Madam Chair, does that include a cost? Because I think that if they want to display it, they should be able to buy it, right? And there's a lot of, we need to buy it, all of the Supreme Court buildings, I mean, all of these buildings that are.
Senator Torres Ray, I think that's the purpose of Subdivision 6, flag donation. So that, okay. You know, somebody could donate the flag to a particular building.
Right.
I see. Yep. Thank you.
The expectation is that could happen if, you know, there wasn't something in the budget to do that.
And, Madam Chair.
Senator Anderson.
The donations have been, on a regular basis, been going out, as Mr. LaBelle has said. People who have, as these women here, as Ms. Stevenson, who are a Gold Star mother who've lost their sons, these flags have been either purchased by the families themselves or been donated by the organization of Honor and Remember Incorporated. So the cost is basically minimal as far as them having to come up with money for it. They are out of the concern and gladness of what their son and daughter have done, willing to buy that flag. And it really is, there's no cost to us or in an organization like the American Legion or the VFWs or those things. There would be a lot of opportunity for donations to come forward and be given to honor those fallen members of the military. I'd like to ask also if Mr. Kaiser.
I was going to call on him next.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Mr. Jerry Kaiser wanted to testify.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Welcome
Jerry
to
Kaiser.
The committee.
I'm Jerry Kaiser. I live in Roseville, Minnesota. I am a combat disabled Vietnam veteran. I'm also the co-chairman of the Military Action Group. That's a bipartisan group of legislators and veterans concerned about legislative issues that we can have personal interaction with the people who make the bills and get things going. We have supported this particular endeavor. I, as a combat person from Vietnam, I was an aviator for 2 years, and I lost one of my pilots, and he was a close personal friend, and another one was my college roommate. I didn't find out that he had been killed for 13 years later. This would be an opportunity, and I intend to do this for both of those families, to get a flag made up for them. This is for the families, not for any particular organization. Another, we're buried on the casket with the American flag. That's who we're honoring here. When we get the last final day, that's your the veteran's last blanket. That is that U.S. flag. This is something for these families to have extra. I've been flying mine since I bought it from them. My organization, Minnesota Vietnam Veterans Charity, I bought 10 more of them to give away to help them get what they're doing. So it's important that we give these families another notion. They never get over this, that death of that loved one. They just get through it. And this is another way for them to be able to do that. And I personally, I wholeheartedly support that. And our military action group, we had no problem with it, as long as it was not going to be a substitute, another flag that would have to be put up a pole. But it goes underneath the POW flag, and it's a choice for organizations to fly and choose as they want. And it's I think it's a honorable and wonderful thing for these families to have that in their hands with that inscribed name on there to help remember those people for perpetuity.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. Any questions for Mr. Kaiser or for the LaBelles?
Madam Chair, Senator Anderson, I have a couple questions. One, there's nothing in this bill that says that any other company can't produce this flag.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Hall, the copyright that was put in place to protect the integrity of the flag, they, whoever would like to manufacture the flag or make the flag, talking with George Lutz in Washington, D.C., talking to the manufacturer that he recommended that is probably the biggest flag maker, makes the United States flag, makes other state flags. They both told me that anybody that is a manufacturer that wants to make these flags has the opportunity to make these flags. So it's not some specific one. They, because of the documentation of this flag, this flag company, they have been going since 1847. And so they went to them first off, but there's other companies that can, as long as they provide an application to the group, Honor and Remember Incorporated, LLC, then they give them the wherewithal to manufacture it. So anybody can manufacture this flag as long as they get consent from the and abide by what the guidelines are for.
So they get kind of license it.
Yeah. Yes, okay. Kind of license.
And this is something the Judiciary Committee would also figure out and work with Senator Anderson.
Correct. I'm on that too.
Good. There you go. Save your questions for that.
Madam Chair.
I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, my second question to Senator Anderson is it my understanding that this flag cannot be flown now on a government building pole, or could it be now and we're just encouraging them to fly it, or are we making it a state policy? Exactly what are we doing here?
Madam Chair.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you. Senator Hall, this is not a mandatory thing whatsoever. It's an encouragement to agencies. People can fly the flag right now if they have access to it or can purchase it. They can fly it themselves. We're just trying to, as a group, and people, especially from Mike LaBelle's situation and Jerry Kaiser as a MAG group, encouraging agencies that represent veterans to consider the opportunity to fly it on behalf of some of the families in their organizations to fly it. We're not making it mandatory. It's all voluntary.
Okay.
Is there anyone else in the audience who wants to testify? If you want to, maybe you guys could step back and let this person come forward, and Senator Anderson can stay there. Okay. Great. Welcome to the committee. Would you introduce yourself for the tape?
Yes, Madam Chair. My name is Mike McKelney. I'm the Legislative Director for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And I would just like to take a brief moment to express concerns of the Commanders Task Force. They are the nine state commanders of the large veteran service organizations. And we feel within the MDVA, they're somewhat of a pseudo board of directors for us, and they provide a lot of guidance relative to veterans issues, veterans concerns, and so forth. And as part of their organization in a manner whereby we attend a lot of their meetings, they expressly they express great concern with this bill, with this honor and remember flag. And so I felt compelled to tell you that they had concerns with that. Many of them weren't able to be here today. I don't believe any of them are here as far as the leadership of the Commander's Task Force today. But they did have issues with this flag. In short, their concern was that they all fought for the U.S. flag. They died for the U.S. flag. They were wounded for the U.S. flag. They bled for the U.S. flag. And that's the flag that they believe is the only necessary flag to express honor towards our armed forces. So I felt compelled to let you know that this is an honorable flag. It is an honorable symbol. It's not something that the MDVA is for or against. But again, this is just I just wanted to express their concerns that they had with this flag.
Mr. McKelley, did the Commander's Task Force feel the same way about the MIA flag?
Madam Chair, that conversation didn't come up, and the MIA POW flag, you know, the history behind that is a little bit different. It's a symbol to express that there are still members missing in action, and it's a symbol to sort of remember that and continue efforts to bring those bodies back and find those personnel. Now, I realize this too is a symbol displaying the sacrifice of people lost in wars overseas and so forth. But again, the MDVA doesn't have a position on this, but the Commander's Task Force did ask me to come and express their concerns.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else would like to testify, sir? And you want to come forward? Thank you, Mr. McKelley.
Madam Chair.
Please introduce yourself for the tape.
Yes, my name is Robert J. Conner. I am a past commander of the Disabled American Veterans. I was commander in 1987-88, which was the year prior to the formation of the Commander's Task Force, which was formed at the time that Governor Perpich took the veterans' homes away from the Department of Veterans Affairs and put them under the Department of Human Services. I wanted to testify on a historical point that the MIA POW flag originated prior to the formation of the Commander's Task Force in Minnesota.
Okay. So they didn't take a position on it?
Correct.
All right. Thank you. And Mr. Conner, do you have a position on this bill?
Well,
as long as you're up there.
As the legislative representative for the Disabled American Veterans this year, I just want to say that the Commander's Task Force only comes forth with a position when it's unanimous by all the members. Mm-hmm. So from that standpoint, if it's not unanimous, then I can't, as an individual organization, testify one way or the other.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any other questions, Senator Johnson?
And Senator Anderson, thank you for introducing this bill. And I did not know about this bill previous to today or yesterday when we had the announcement. But my oldest brother died in World War II. And I was very young at the time, but I can clearly remember the grief that my mother and father experienced during that time. Mm-hmm. I remember when they brought his body, sent his body home, because he was over in Japan area. And when they brought his body home to the railroad station in Foley, Minnesota, which was the nearest town, I can remember people holding my mother up because she was crying and so distraught over it. And you know, this would be something that she would have, someone would definitely had provided it to her if she were still alive.
Yes.
She's not, and neither is my father. So I say I think it's really fine, and I think for the purpose that it was designed to help to deal with the grief and the sadness that a person feels when they lose their child, especially in a situation like World War II. So thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other comments? Anybody else in the audience? Yes. Would you like to come forward and state your name?
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Joanne Richardson.
Ms. Richardson, welcome.
And I had a couple comments. I feel very blessed to live in Minnesota. Minnesota has a lot of very good programs to help families of the fallen. We have had some differences. We never had Gold Star family license plates in the state of Minnesota until after my son died, and there was a lot of work and a lot of negatives and positives, and we have them now. It's a great way to remember your family members. Had my son lived, he would have veteran plates. He was killed. He died. We now honor him with Gold Star plates. His siblings now have the opportunity to have plates also. I know that this was a challenge when it began, but it became a very good opportunity for all of us to show the pride that we have in our fallen. Many times people tell me thank you for your sacrifice, and I would like to say that I am too selfish to be able to say, oh, you're welcome. If I had my choice, I would never have given up any of my children for any war. But I would love to see the opportunity. My employer hangs the Honor Remember flag up, and I appreciate that every day. I see that flag. They never had to do it, but I would be grateful if, to honor and remember our fallen, you would be able to agree to this, because that's the way you can say thank you. It's a lot better to have someone to see that than to have someone say thank you. And thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. Senator Anderson, good news. The Judiciary Committee says they don't have to see the bill. So we just have to send it to Rules. Okay. So if you're ready to make the motion.
Madam Chair, I would like to move Senate File 208 as amended to be recommended pass and sent to Rules.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you. Short meeting today. The meeting is adjourned.